Gashua Brooks, the Communications Coordinator at the South African Human Rights Commission. Gashua, are you with us? Good afternoon to you.
Yes, I am. Good afternoon to you and good afternoon to your listeners. I hope the line is clear.
The line is clear enough. Thank you for agreeing to talk to us today on this really significant day for our country. Gosh, well, I thought before we get all official and talk about, this day from your official capacity, I'm just wondering for you personally, what does Freedom Day mean to you? Where's your mind been this afternoon, this morning?
Well, Freedom Day, or the origins of Freedom Day, I was pretty young. I was only 12 years old. At the time, I guess it was some level of confusion, not quite appreciating or understanding the significance of the day. All I understood that was people were going out to vote for the first time, or very many people in this country were going to vote for the first time. And I think that the one thing that stood out for me about it at the time was the amount of fear and panic that was going around, probably very similar to what we are facing at the moment. I'm pretty sure you remember all the visuals of all the canned food being bought up by various people throughout the world. I mean, throughout the country. And it's a very different picture today.
No, it's just interesting because I wasn't in the country over this period back in 94. And we received a very sanitized version of what was going on at the time, with beautiful images of people queuing in for kilometers and kilometers, being fabulous to each other in voting queues. We didn't know about fear. We didn't know about stocking up on food. Really interesting how it was portrayed overseas as to what was going on in the country.
I think it was, it really depended on which side of the divide one was on. You know, for some people, it was a change of the status quo. The system that was in place and had only given political privilege to some was about to be overturned, and many people didn't, and I think rightly so. You know, change generally brings about some level of fear, some level of anxiety. But of course, as you said, what overcame the day was the fact that people peacefully voted and chose democratic leadership for themselves, and all of that gave rise to the rights and everything else we enjoy today in this country, where you and I can have this conversation as equals, where we can talk about the state of the nation and whether human rights, is applicable to all.
100%. And just linking into that quite beautifully is an article that appears on the front of News 24 this afternoon. It's quoting our president, President Ramaphosa, saying, "Freedom for some is freedom for none." What would be your comment to that statement?
Well, the president is 100% spot on there. Unfortunately, we still, and I think especially under these lockdown conditions that we're living under, it has clearly shown us the state of inequality in South Africa, where some people are able to comfortably, albeit you're in a slightly more state, a more uncomfortable state of being, where obviously you can't leave home as you see fit. Schooling has to happen from home, work has to happen from home, and all of those things. And those are some of the biggest inconveniences that people are faced with, whereas other people are really faced with the reality of finding it very difficult to maintain social distancing and remain at home purely because of the living conditions that they live under. Large numbers of people living in shacks. Online curricula doesn't mean much for many people since they do not have access to many of the things that we require for us to be able to teach our children from home. So I think a big difference for many people.
Do you think that perhaps people are sitting back, introspecting somewhat and thinking, times are not the same? The same rules that applied prior to COVID-19 cannot apply going forward. And I'm thinking specifically about certain communities' approach to issues such as NHI, where it was almost seen as like this is the ultimate communist plot. Do you think that a change is afoot in terms of which people are thinking, wait a minute, my high walls and my electrical wires are not going to protect me from a virus? Maybe it is in my interest that everybody receives a basic amount of medical attention. Do you, or am I just being hopeful?
I hope that people have changed their perspective on a number of things. I mean, even in itself, the implementation of NHI, I mean, the commission is looking at it very closely. We can't just have implementation of NHI with the hope that that's going to be the ultimate panacea for our healthcare crisis in this country. I mean, there's many other things that we need to take into consideration as well. But however, at the very same time, I think the one thing that is that this crisis has made clear is how different the spectrum is for people's living conditions across South Africa, and how human rights, are differently interpreted by various groups. So for some people, for example, as I said, this is somewhat of an inconvenience, whereas for others, this is a life-changing event that's made their lives extremely difficult. So, hopefully there's greater consciousness and understanding of what the living conditions are across the board, and that we as a nation start moving closer to trying to reach a middle ground, rather, and ensure that we have equality, substantive equality as far as possible.
Moving the conversation on a bit out of the COVID-19 context to something a little more general, in your opinion, and I'm just assuming you are closer to human rights education than most of us are, do you think that the rights culture has somehow been inculcated into the youth to the extent that it should be?
Not sufficiently. I think there's still a lot of work to be done. The Commission is doing a lot of work in that particular space, as well as many of the civil society partners that we have, faith-based organizations and communities. And, I think everyone is trying to lend a hand ensuring that there's greater respect for human rights. However, in as much as that may be the case, it's something that we still really need to work on. And I think that South Africa is especially the perfect country to look at that situation. All too often what we find is when something affects a particular group's human rights or a particular person's human rights, we're extremely vocal about those particular issues, but we're less vocal when it affects a community that we don't necessarily belong to. All too often we don't ask ourselves the question around how people of different sexual identities orientations are being treated. We don't necessarily look at the gender divide unless it affects us directly, and so on and so forth. So some of the concerns are that ultimately we need to become a society that protects the rights of all, as opposed to just being parochial and looking inward only, and ensuring that my rights or my community's rights are protected. Ultimately, we need to do a lot more to protect the rights of everyone as far as possible.
I want to end off with posing a question to you that has been raised by some very interesting international thinkers, like people like Yuval Hariri, who are stating that certain governments world over are using the COVID-19 experience as an excuse to extend authoritarian measures. And his concern is that they won't be rolled back after this is over. In your capacity as speaking on behalf of the South African Human Rights Commission, do you foresee that as being a problem?
Well, I want to make something very clear that the current lockdown conditions have been put in place due to the National Disaster Management Act. So in other words, there's a legal framework under which this has happened. This didn't happen arbitrarily. The rules weren't made up as we went along. The rules were firmly in place within a constitutional democracy, and rights have been limited, yes. They haven't been taken away. As I was saying, if we find ourselves in a situation whereby the National Disaster Management Act does not apply anymore, then there is no need to limit any particular rights, and we wouldn't have to shortchange anyone on rights. So if we do not see a situation of these current lockdown conditions being rolled back, despite the fact that they should, then obviously we will have to act on that. And luckily we do have a constitution as well as other legislation in place that ensures that this is something that can't remain the status quo forever.
Kashal Brooks, Communications Coordinator at the South African Human Rights Commission. I just want to thank you for being available to us. This is by no means the first time that we've spoken. Thank you for being available to us and giving us your very valuable insights into the issues of the day.
It's always a pleasure. Best to your listeners as well.
Thanks a ton, Gush. We'll speak to you at the next crisis. Let's